We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
It feels like Miami. Miami, 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 Miami.
It feels like Miami. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heatbeat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, this may look like the pregame show crew, but it's not. We have the flagship podcast out here. To my left is my co-host, trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
What's up?
Jack, you're going to get your own pregame show. We are very close to getting your own Weird Al pregame show off the ground and running. That is exciting.
Can't wait. So close, I can almost taste it. Ready for it?
Couple weeks, guys. We're getting all this stuff ready so we can have a really fun, kind of wacky pregame show that is very us. On the bottom of the screen, it's our 2K coach, Frankie.
Yep. We beat the Knicks. Let's get it.
Two-game winning streak on deck. Chat's excited for Lowry to the Heat because of the rumors today. Little Spoon Roy says bring back Babbitt. We have a wide range of things going on in chat. And if you want to participate in our chat, watch our podcast live. We stream them on Twitch every time. We tweet out the links on Miami Heatbeat at MIA Heatbeat on Twitter. And our Twitch account is on twitch.tv/MIA Heatbeat. So check us out. We have a lot of fun there. We actually have a couple things. I just had a call with Brian M. You may know him from Twitch chat and our moderator. He's also like kind of our executive stream producer / consultant. We have some cool stuff coming that's going to make the streams look a lot better, so we want like almost professional quality. Chat saying that there's YouTube videos on how to do my beard. I'm letting it grow. Why are we judging? I'm trying my best to grow it out here. Let's start with we're going to get into trade stuff probably on the back half of the show. Let's start with the basketball, because the Heat are on a 2-game winning streak. And that's listen, maybe in yonder years, that wouldn't be such a big deal, but they have not been very good this year. So a 2-game winning streak is very much welcome, Frankie. And I think this is going to sound kind of cliche to say, because, you know, I think we kind of fancy ourselves a more analytical show. They're just fucking playing a little harder. They're playing a little better. They're playing more attentive. And I think we can get into some of the X's and O's stuff, but I think it just starts with they're just trying harder.
Yeah, and it starts with Jimmy and Bam. There definitely has been a change in their effort levels and aggression in the last two games. They're leading the way. Tyler's been a lot better off the bench, a lot more comfortable. Everybody, shots are falling. all these little things. The defense looks more intense, you know, stuff like that, that we've been asking for, that should not be. I mean, the shots falling is the only thing that you could really say, hey, you know, you can't rely on that every game, but the defensive effort, the aggression, all that stuff is repeatable. It can be consistent. It's just on them. And these guys haven't shown it up until this point, and I'm glad it's finally here.
Well, I would argue the shots aren't even falling that much, right? Like, I mean, Duncan was kind of slumping before, yeah, and he shot 4 for 10 the other day, which is like, I mean, I think you should be able to expect him to, you know, shoot 40%. And like, Kelly went 2 for 9. Like, I think if you are going to be encouraged by something, it is the fact that like, they aren't like lights out from three. Like, they are shooting better than they have. But I think this is like more of what we should be able to expect from them in terms of shooting. But like, yeah, it all starts with the intensity. Jimmy has clearly been eager to get some wins together. I think they all have. But like, you can see that he's really bodying dudes. The zone worked really well last game, particularly because I think everybody was playing with an intensity that we haven't seen all season, that they were like trapping really well and that they were like really getting after it. These are all like, you know, dumb platitudes, but I think everybody saw it, right? That they were playing harder. And the real question is if they're going to play this hard on Tuesday against the same team that's going to adjust and kind of be looking to get a win right off of that loss.
I like the trap. I love that you mentioned the trapping, because that's not something they've done a lot. And they do, you know, we're used to the big three teams where they have those really aggressive traps when it's Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh and LeBron. So you have all this length. I thought Olynyk did a great job of really bodding up the trap. And again, it's just Elfrid Payton and it's Emmanuel Quickly, right? It's not these, you know, pick apart passers, you know what I mean? It's not CP3 or anything. Or even like a guy like Victor Oladipo, right? Like just like kind of these next tier kind of playmakers. But I think I thought it was pretty interesting that they threw that out there. They tried it. I thought they ran it well. There's only one time that it really got burned off of Taj Gibson, kind of short roll to the cutting. Opie Toppin, right? They got a little Opie Toppin action on the yeah, roll, on the baseline roll. So I thought it was really effective. I thought Olynyk, so I know we mentioned this on Hangover Time, but JNico20 on Twitter tweeted at the Heatbeat account some interesting Olynyk stats. So from the season start to January 13th, so when like everybody was healthy, they were shooting, Kelly Olynyk was shooting 40% from three on 7 attempts. From January 13th through January 26th, which is essentially that 2.5 week period that everyone was sick, he shot 13%, 16% from three on 5 attempts. And then since January 26th, since everybody got healthy again, he's about at 46% on 7 attempts. That tells me a couple things. That tells me that Olynyk's still good. That tells me that Olynyk needs the spacing of other guys and better playmakers to get him the ball. And if he's going to at least survive on defense, which these last couple games he has, and again, it's just the Wizards, it's just the Knicks, let's not make any assumptions. But, you know, last year I thought he was survivable on defense. And if he could be that way, Frankie, that is a huge plus, because they need something at power forward. They need anything.
Yeah, historically he's been a very good team, not very good, but a solid team defender. You know, he's not going to hurt you there. He knows his rotations. He'll take his charges. He's usually pretty good there. And then it's well enough. He's good enough that offensively what he brings you, it's a lot more. And so the net rating will be very positive. Cause you know, they do historically score well with Kelly and his spacing, with Bam, with Jimmy, back to when they had Justice, when it was Goron, when it was Josh, where Kelly's usually been pretty high in the net ratings in his Heat tenure. You have a floor spacing big who's a high level. He's a high level passer.
Come on. He makes the right reads.
He makes good reads. I mean, but he's not like breaking down defense. He's a good passer. He can hurt you from the elbow. Yeah. He sees the help. He can hit you with the pocket pass. He can bounce pass. He's a smart player. For the most part. Now, if we can get him to stop taking so many threes that are not rhythm threes, that are early shot clock threes, that he can kind of, you know, run some offense and set your feet and get a good shot, you know, that'll be another thing. But yeah, defensively, he looked so much better. He was in control in the hedging, great position, held long enough that, I think it was very interesting that they ran it against the Knicks, because the Knicks aren't a great shooting team, and they dared them to beat them with the shot. And the first half they were doing it. They kept them in the game shooting like a season high. I think the Knicks averaged like 9 threes a game or something like that, they said on the broadcast, and they hit like 12 in the first half. So, and the
shout out to Cooper Moorhead for that stat.
Yeah, and it ran out in the second half. You bet on the talent. That's scouting report. That's coaching, and I like that. I like that we're trying to scout up our opponents.
Chat says stop analyzing stuff we already know. Talk rumors. Let's feed you, Kyle Lowry. Rumored to come to the Miami Heat. Listen, we listen to chat. Don't say we don't. Everyone chat's killing my beard. It's okay. We're gonna keep it for a little bit longer. I think the news of the day is, and by the way, we had a whole breakdown of the game on Hangover Time. Check out that on the pod feed or on YouTube or wherever you listen to the pods, because we did a lot of the game stuff there. The stuff we're gonna talk about is mostly Kyle Lowry, because he's the guy that is kind of projected, or at least rumored right now. He's available, right? And I think that people kind of follow the tea leaves. Everybody knows Masai Ujiri. Everybody knows how Masai functions, right? They know that he's not going to just sit on a 6 seed or a 7 seed or whatever they're going to be. So I want to bring the conversation there, because today the news broke on Bleacher Report. It was some anonymous source. So let's take this with a grain of salt. We know how this stuff goes, and we don't know who's doing this. By the way, shout out to Curtis's Hero for the gifted sub, the gifted community sub. We appreciate it. I think Kyle changes Miami's calculus in a significant and season-altering way, because he's the only guard I would say this about, because I think he's an elite player on both ends of the floor, and I think he's also an elite shooter that you trust off the dribble and off the catch and shoot. And I think when you have those dimensions to your offense in conjunction with the best handoff big in the, or maybe the second best or second best handoff big in the league between Bam and Jokic. So let's be fair here. You have a lot of dimensions to your offense while not suffering on defense, like when you have Dragic. So when you have Dragic on the floor, you have a weak link to attack. And I think the Heat want to get to a place where they can field 5 players that can't be picked on defensively. It's not unlike the Raptors or teams like that, because even the Lakers had some weak links on defense or whatever. So Jack, I look at Lowry, and that's, I don't know what it would cost to give him up, and we're going to talk about what a package would look like later, but he certainly is perfect for this team.
Yeah, I agree that he's perfect for this team. I want to quickly on something you said the Heat want to field 5 players where there's no weak link. They mm-hmm. definitely have not shown that in their actions, right?
They haven't.
Their team building has not reflected that will.
But they don't have a choice, because you have Duncan and Tyler.
They had a choice to retain some of their good defensive players. But we're not going to harp on that, because that's been the subject of every podcast since the start of the season. I think Kyle Lowry is like a perfect fit. I think he's exactly who you want. One, he's like a legitimate, without like delving too far into cliches, he has like championship pedigree. He's been the second best player on a title team. I can say that, right?
No, he was absolutely the second best player.
Yeah. Nobody's going to argue with me that with, if anybody argues with me about that, you can go fuck yourself. But, no, I think he's great. I think he gives you something on both ends. He's obviously a great shooter. He's just an intelligent player. He's good friends with Jimmy, which I think is important. I think there would be instant chemistry. And I don't think he, like most players of his quality and caliber, I don't think there's that much of an adjustment for Spo to make. Obviously, like, he allows you to do more just because he's like a much better player. But I don't think, like, Beal is better than Lowry right now, but if you got Beal, you would have to change everything you do, kind of.
I disagree with that. I don't think you would.
But like, when you add Beal, that's like a pretty big wave to make that I think does change some of your math a little bit. I do think the hierarchy is changes. Pretty easy to slot in, right? I think Lowry slots in, and I don't think you would see a really long period of like chemistry building. I think I can see very clearly how he and Bam would work together, how he and Butler would work together. My issue is I don't see any package that makes any sense, because it would require them giving up. I don't know. It comes down to the conversation we have about every trade, right? Is you're giving up at least one of Duncan and Hero, and which one is it? And, you know, do you want to do that? And you're giving up more too, right? Like, I don't know. Like, Nunn's value is not high right now. No. I know he's been playing well, but he does not have any value. Nobody's fooled by like a short period of
George Sedano is, but other than him, no one's fooled.
I'm encouraged by it, but like, it doesn't change its trade value.
So Kyle's at 30 million, expires at the end of this year. He's an expiring $30 million contract. Getting to that is going to be a little complicated, because, you know, you're going to have to give up, you know, I imagine, you know, Toronto would want cap space and young players, and Miami doesn't have a lot of draft equity. And I don't really know how much Masai wants draft equity. He's not been, even in the Carmelo trade, he got players, not draft equity, right? So let's also like understand who we're dealing with. Kind of from a basketball perspective, Jack, I totally agree with what you're saying about like how seamless the fit is and the chemistry stuff. Like, Miami already uses their guards as screeners a ton, and Kyle is an incredible screener as a guard, with all that pistol action that they have guard screen is going to be great. He can be on either end of the pistol, which is really fun. I mean, they can do small handoffs. They don't do that a lot, but I'm sure that the kind of shootability and the physicality of Lowry will allow you some fun, and you can kind of force some switches. And I think especially when you have Jimmy on the floor, if you start switching those small screens, you could start really working matchups to get Jimmy something that he likes late in the shot clock.
The chat's talking about Precious for Lowry. Would you Precious in a Lowry trade?
I would do it. And I think that Jimmy's clock is ticking, right? Like, Jimmy has a timer on him that, you know, he's playing amazing this year, right? And he's playing very physical, and we don't know how much longer he's going to keep that up. So I think it's a tough pill to swallow, because I think we all really love Precious, but Kyle is an all-NBA, all-star, championship-proven veteran guard that fits everything that you do. And when you can really feasibly at some points feel the backcourt of Lowry, Dragic, your offense is going to be amazing. Because Dragic, you know, Lowry's played with another ball dominant like guard like that. So, Frankie, it's almost a no brainer if they can do it, even though it's kind of a tough pill.
For Precious for Lowry?
Yeah,
I say a no brainer. I don't even hesitate, honestly.
I mean, it'd probably be Precious, and then you got to get the salary. So, I hope that they can unload the Myers $10 million, and then you have, you know, probably Olynyk and Andre, and that gets you there.
Do they have to unload it? It's just exception, right? Do they have to do anything with that?
No, they have to. I mean, I'm saying that to get to Lowry's $30 million, you got to trade, right? So maybe they can keep Andre. I'm sure that they try to, and they can try to get other salaries, even if it's getting a third team, so that they can keep probably their most important defensive wing right now.
Yeah, seriously. But I mean, I really like Precious. His effort is outstanding. He's as a 19, 20 year old big, he's already showing signs that he's valuable on both ends, and he's pretty good both ends right now. The issue with Precious is I don't think there's any like legitimate potential for him and Bam to play together anytime soon, or like any willingness from Spo and the Heat to play them together. And you know, Precious is very nice. I think he's gonna have a 10 to 15 year career in the league as a rotation guy, barring injury, but he's playing like 12 minutes a game. You're not playing him with Bam is playing 35 38 minutes a game. So I'm not hesitating moving Precious to improve our to get our third best player on the team
now.
He's not going to contribute this year. And I think G is totally right that Jimmy changes your clock entirely. If Bam was the like only star on your team, you completely, I think, punt on this year probably. Like, I think you would just say, we're in too big of a hole. We get rid of our, like, you know, our assets and we kind of punt. But like Jimmy, you got to make the most of every year. And I don't think Precious is going to contribute much this year in terms of a deep playoff run, as much as I like him. And again, yeah, he doesn't fit wonderfully with Bam, and it doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon. I don't even think, like, I wouldn't even foresee it happening that much next year. But like, also on that kind of like short timeline issue, the issue is you get Lowry, your biggest issue is still not solved. And if you have to give up Iggy, then you create, like, you maximize that one issue that you do have, right? Like the four position. If you don't have Iggy, then that four position looks dark. Like, it looks bad. And you can talk about playing Jimmy at the four, but like, it's shallow. And if you're going all in on a championship with Lowry, which is what you would be doing, they would have to figure something out. I think they would still be one move away, one small move, but one move away.
So and a couple things on this. So I think part of the Lowry thing that's valuable is that you can re-sign him long-term as a free agent. And I don't see him having, unless I'm reading this incorrectly on Spotrac, and if chat, somebody can correct me, or Brian, you can help me out here. I don't think he has a cap hold next season, which is important because if, you know, kind of like how Dragic this offseason, you know, the Heat had some cap space, but Dragic's cap hold was bigger than their cap space. So in reality, unless you renounce his bird rights and his cap hold, then you don't have cap space, right? So I think with Lowry, not only do you get to re-sign the guy and also have cap space, you can make a move next offseason as well. Now, on the flip side, if you're Toronto, I don't really know how valuable Precious is to you. Boucher for them is a guy that I don't know how good he is. And I don't think they know how good he is. And I think that there's a lot in Boucher that is, they like. He's been their center, but he's not starting for them. They're still starting Aaron Baines or whoever else they have in the revolving door centers. Boucher is still plays a lot off the bench. Sometimes they start him, sometimes they don't. And I don't know if they're going to want Precious. I don't know if they want Boucher to add another like big.
Huh? Boucher is like almost 30. I think you'd probably figure out like some kind of three team deal, right? Like, I think somebody, you're right that somebody does probably value Precious a lot more than Toronto would. But then I would just say, like, I think somebody values Precious and like enough to get involved in a three team deal where Precious is going
Oklahoma to, City.
Anytime you get this far into the weeds, I can't predict any sort of package. Like, yeah. I can't, but like, I do think, yeah, like routing Precious to a third team.
What do you got, Frankie?
And also, I mean, we talk about Kelly or Andre having to be included for matching purposes. If Toronto's trading Kyle, they're not really going to care about a guy like that. So
you want the expiring money, is what?
No. I know that, but I'm saying those guys are valuable to a contender. So it's possible that you can reroute them, include a third team, and get something of value for Toronto. But one of the biggest issues with the trade is Toronto's ahead of us in the standings. Why the hell is Kyle going to want to come here?
Well, I think that, I mean, let's be honest. I'm sure that a lot of people in the league, and it's been reported, they don't see Miami as like one of these top tier teams, but I don't think people think that they're fucking a lottery team either. Right? Like they got whacked with COVID. They've had a lot of weird shit happen.
Yeah, but I mean, we also have to pick up the pace before we can really call ourselves a contender.
Oh, again. For sure. But Lowry puts him there.
Lowry, I would say Lowry does, especially if we can find some suitable buyout big
power forward, baby.
Yeah, but I mean, the Heat have the disabled player exception. They have the biannual exception still available to them,
and they have a $7.5 million trade exception.
And they have that, so they have tools at their disposal. I'm still going back to OKC. I think it just makes the most sense with their loosening up the restrictions of the pick, and they could still get I could see something like Ariza, and he hasn't played for them. He's been away from the team all year. I don't know what's going on with him.
Andre 2.0.
Yeah. So and he's a better shooter, and he had this last year where he was playing terribly for the Kings. As soon as he gets to the Blazers, he has a resurgence. So he's the kind of veteran that you like. Deadman's still out. He's the kind of veteran player you like, that he's tough on defense. And
I don't know. Nobody wanted Deadman so much to the point that I'm scared.
Well, do you think like they'll be available in the buyout market? Like, I think there's a chance. Like, I don't know.
Alicia's probably going to get bought out if he can't get traded.
Yeah.
Guys like that.
Deadman, I'm confused about, because he was good like 2 years ago. I don't know if it's an injury. He had a terrible year last year, but I don't know what's going on. That after one bad year, nobody wants him.
The Nets are also going to be able to scoop up these guys too. Chat saying Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He's a guy I really like, but the problem is that he's just not a shooter, and I think that they just can't afford to play another non-spacer, especially on a bench unit next to Andre. I think that you're really treading water. And I think when you're with the starters, it's one thing, because Jimmy is so good and Bam is so good that they'll create. But when you're on that bench unit and it's Precious, Tyler, and Andre plus another non-floor spacer, you make it tough.
But for your 10th guy, for the guy who doesn't have to play every night and he fills in your DJJ role, who could play small ball four, I would much rather have him on the team than Chris Silva.
For sure. No questions asked.
There's so many guys.
KZ Akpala.
Yeah, or KZ.
Is George Hill on the Pelicans or on the Thunder?
He's on the Thunder. Bledsoe's the one on the Pelicans.
That's another guy that would be intriguing. Yeah. But if they get Lowry, I don't really see the need for George Hill. They'd have a lot of guards.
Yeah, no, of course. But I think the George Hill makes more sense. He's averaging 11 and three. I don't think he's playing a lot of, he's only playing 26 minutes a game right now. That's his role. He's a good two-way guy. He led the league in three-point shooting last year. So it's a perfect fit.
So chat's asking if Bielitsa can fit in their trade exception. He can. It's $7 million this season. So they can absolutely get Bielitsa with their trade exception. So that could be something. I don't know if the Kings would want that. I'm sure that they could get something for
him. Jimmy played with him. If Jimmy signs off on it, I can see it.
I mean, if they make a move, like if they do a move, right, they're going to need bodies. So that's a guy. And he's, you know, not shooting the ball very well this season. He's shooting 28%, but he's been almost a 40% shooter every year he's been in the league, except for this one. Part of that is the decrease in minutes. I'm sure that he can't get into rhythm.
Yeah, he's only played 10 games. So.
Yeah, he's only played 10 games. So I take that with a grain of salt. He can fit in the trade exception, and I would like that.
His nickname is Professor Big Shots. We got to have this guy.
Bielitsa?
Yeah.
He's. I think a lot of contenders are going to sniff around that. I think the Nets are going to sniff around that. They can get a guy to play five, maybe
on the side. I think there are going to be more fives on the buyout market that the Nets will be interested in.
They just
picked up this guy from Indiana. What's his name?
Who?
The big man for Vonleh.
Noah Vonleh?
Yeah, they just picked him up today.
Yeah.
That's a good pickup.
I like Noah Vonleh.
Chat's asking, Torres87 asks, what's the price for Lowry? G, aren't you a Raptors fan? What's realistic? I think, honestly, any deal for Lowry probably is a Duncan swap. I think that he's the guy that I look at unless they do a three-team deal, like we're talking about, and we'll try to find another guy to route over to the Thunder that they would want Precious. I don't know how much the Raptors would want Precious, especially for Lowry. It would have to include that first round pick that they can move, the first available one, plus young player, plus expiring salary cap relief. Any deal starts with that. I imagine Duncan will be there. And for those of you who say, you know, why would they want to pay Duncan $18 million a year? Well, I mean, they're paying Pascal Siakam. They just paid Fred VanVleet. That's a team that wants.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's to win. And if they think that Kyle Lowry is going to leave, they may want to get something, sign a guy long-term like Duncan Robinson, who will be an asset, and he's a very good player. And their offense has struggled. Let's be frank. Their offense has not looked very good, even with all these good offensive players. So the extra floor spacer is good. You know, who knows what's going to happen with Norm Powell and their situation there. And we don't know the Boucher, like, how, is this for real? Is this not? So I think having a bird in hand for them and Duncan Robinson is attractive. I think it's more attractive for them than a guy like Precious. Obviously Hero would be the main guy, but I don't really see Miami parting with Hero for almost a 30-something year old point guard. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping, and the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
I don't see them parting with Duncan for Lowry.
I don't either. That's why I don't think there's a deal here.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about hypotheticals like, are you going to pay Duncan or not? And I'm so sick of that conversation, that whole conversation. We do not know how much money Duncan is going to command.
It's a hypothetical complaint.
We can go off of precedent. We can go off of whatever. And like, I do think in all likelihood, like if you're going to put money on it, like, yeah, he's going to command a lot of money, but we don't know yet. And like, he likely will. But again, it's hypothetical, right? Like, I don't think he'll take a team friendly deal, but like that is within the realm of possibility. Point where it is like a totally like useless conversation. That's just, Duncan is really good right now. What he does for this team is so important. And if you are talking about like going in all in on this year, which I think you have to, you'd have to give me a lot to part with Duncan, who is literally like the engine that drives the Heat's offense. And like, I think over the past 10 games before the Knicks game, he was shooting like the low 30s, like 33% from three. And that's his slump. That's like a Duncan Robinson slump, is 33% from three for 10 games. And then he goes four for 10. And like, after over four for a seven. Year of,
he'll go for like a 4-for-7 efficient.
After a year of being like one of the greatest shooters I've ever seen in my life.
He's still
like
one of the best shooters in the league. He's shooting almost 10 attempts a game and he's shooting 40% on them. That's a basketball wet dream.
And that's with every defense keying in on him and him slumping. Like this is cold Duncan right now.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
He's amazing. And I think people forget that because they get afraid of the price tag, and there is no price tag right now. It doesn't exist. It is hypothetical. And even if it's likely, it's just, I don't think it's worth thinking about. I think it's worth, like, on some level, the Heat are thinking about it. you know, like in trade negotiations, they have to think about it. But I do think, especially in a Jimmy-led Heat team, you're thinking more year to year than you are long term right now. And I don't know if Kyle helps this team more than Duncan does. Is that
That's ridiculous. Because Kyle's a Duncan, right? Like, you have to look at the return you're getting as well. Like, Kyle's not only a good shooter, Kyle's not as good a shooter as Duncan, but he does command a lot of the space that Duncan gives you. And while doesn't shoot as good a percentage and doesn't have the gravity that Duncan has, he gives you some sort of facsimile of that while being a dog on defense. And he will help their offense, because not only do they have another really good shooter to fly off of handoffs, now they have a legitimate threat going north-south in addition to Jimmy.
Yeah, I suppose you're right about that. I mean, it's just a tough trade-off to make. I just don't think a deal happens. I don't
think it either does.
I would not give up Duncan for Lowry. And I don't think the Heat would either. And
Tiffany makes a good point in chat. She's like, Kyle can box out, though. And while that is a funny joke, it is also true that he's going to help their rebounding a little bit, because their guards are typically kind of not – like, Duncan's not a rebounder, right? Like, and Kyle's aggressive, and he boxes out, and he is physical down there. Something I think is interesting, guys, that let's say they do this. Let's say Pack us on the phone and Masai Strongarm is like, I want Duncan a pick and then some expiring salary. And then Riley says, fuck it, fine, let's do it. At that point, you have Dragic, you have Tyler, and you have Lowry. Now you have these three guards. And chat's asking, like, well, if Kyle's here, what does that mean for Goran? Now, I don't think they'll trade Goran, and I don't think they'll get a lot back for Goran. But if you trade for Lowry with Duncan, do you then try to flip Tyler and see if you can get a guy positionally to help you?
That's so tough, though.
But that's not above Pat Riley. We've seen this do it with a team that was a broken rib away from the finals with a legitimate superstar in Dwayne Wade. And he flipped the entire team over.
I'd have to know more about how the league values Tyler Hero. I don't know if that many people are going to be clamoring for him. I know he has
value. They'll get like,
going to get a haul. Like, but I don't know.
No, but I'm saying like you flip him for X all-star power forward or X like near all-star power forward.
Give me a name and I like,
or guard.
Harry B. I'm kidding.
I will fight Pat Riley.
I mean, I would have to have a name in front of me to like think about it. I would be open to the idea. My other question about trading for Lowry, let's say you do it, you have to resign him, right? Like, and then you have a really old team going into that. You also have to worry about, because this might not be the year for the Heat to win it all. I think we have to admit that maybe like there are some circumstances that are hurting them and that like you can patch things up. And I do think they can be built to make a deep run. But like shortness of the off season, I do think like the whole COVID thing, I worry about how that's going to affect Jimmy in the long run. Like we don't know how players recover from that fully. Goran is kind of weird right now. There are a lot of like things up in the air that like, even if you make this kind of trade and you go all in, I don't know, you know, especially like once you get to the Lakers, like what happens there. Then, you know, this is all, we're deep into hypothetical zone. Like you get to the off season, Kyle Lowry's contract expires. You re-sign him because you have to. And then what does your team look like next year? Like,
no, baby, really you're going to have two really good players and then bam, right? So you're going to have a three, you know, all-star type, you know, core with whatever you surround them with. So that's not a bad way to start. And I get what you're saying, and I don't totally disagree with you. And I think that if you're going to empty out the asset cupboard, you should maybe aim a little higher. But I've said this in the past. I think Kyle Lowry is the best point guard in the East. I don't think Kemba Walker's as good as he is. And I don't think Kyrie Irving's as good as he is. And that's
Trae Young.
Get Trae Young out of here. What has Trae Young ever done?
Best point guard in the East is Tyler Hero. My question about like trading Tyler Hero for somebody who's a positional fit, why don't they just do that now? If they're going to do that anyway, like they could just do that now if they're going to do it.
It's because tough Tyler because
Hero is not the position or fit that they need right now.
But like, he's available.
And I would want to know who you can get back, though, because, like, if you can trade him for an all-star four right now, like, maybe do that and don't trade for Kyle Lowry. And then, like,
or both.
Or both. But, like, if you can keep Duncan and then trade Tyler for, like, an all-star four, which, again, I don't know if that's true.
I gotta be totally honest with you. You look at the kind of really good power forwards that you would be willing to part with your really young, promising rookie. It's just shit that teams wouldn't trade. Like, you know, the Magic aren't trading Jonathan Isaac, right? Because it's like young player for young player. They're just going to keep their young player. Aaron Gordon, do we really want Aaron Gordon? Like, probably not. And I don't think it's worth trading Tyler for that. Tobias Harris, do we really want Tobias Harris in that contract for Tyler? No. Kevin Love, pretty washed. John Collins, kind of in the same boat, right? It's like, are we going to trade our young player? Actually, the Hawks might do that.
I don't think so.
John Collins worries me because...
Yeah, they don't even want... They don't want him over there.
Over time, because... He just, I really liked him pre-draft. I thought he was really cool. Like, I'm still a fan of his, but, like, he does feel like an empty calories guy in a lot of ways. Like,
and they don't want him over there. Like, yeah, when the team that you're there doesn't want you.
That's the thing is, like, Miami likes Hero because he's really good. And I can't imagine the value. Like, I don't know if he commands such value that, like, you part with him unless there's some sort of like dispute, right? Unless Tyler like and the Heat like disagree on the
at this point, if
Tyler said you benched me, I want to be a starter, fuck you, like,
which totally. By the way is the opposite of what he said. He actually has some comments that and real quick, I don't want to cut you off, but I did think that was cool that he did say that when this is the organization that asked Udonis Haslem to come off the bench for Michael Beasley and did so very professionally and in stride, and then asked Dwayne Wade to come off the bench, their franchise superstar guy. Ray Allen came here to come off the bench, right? Goran Dragic followed Dwayne Wade's suit and came off the bench. And then when, you know, you can kind of see the cause and effect. Udonis comes off the bench and next is Dwayne, and then Dwayne to Goran, and then Goran to Tyler, right? Like, there's
And Hassan, no. I love that, like, the idea of that conversation that, like, even that the idea that, it, like, the Heat tell you you need to come off the bench and they go, like, you can't do this to me. And it's like, fuck you, we did it to Dwayne Wade.
And Dwayne did it, like, in stride. And Goran, we had these conversations. Goran is an ultimate professional. If you've ever been in a locker room with Goran, you know how hard this guy works. B, like, what a professional that guy is. And he went to the bench and he said, I want to be sixth man of the year. Like, this is what I want to do. Like, so when you turn to your second year player who hasn't like been great and you're not winning and you're like, hey, Tyler, we're going to need you to come off the bench because we think we're going to win this way. Of course, he's going to say, yes, coach, how can I be better, coach?
And when Goran got benched, he wasn't even playing worse, really. Like, he was the same player. Like, he was like,
Loki's
was
best totally season in a Heat uniform.
Yeah.
I know he made an all-star team, but he was awesome last
year. He was really good. He should have won sixth man of the year, I think. Absolutely. He should have at least been a finalist. The fucking Clippers thing. I'm still mad about that. That's
such bullshit.
Oh, hold on. I love this Smith and Smalley trade. Let's say they do the Kyle thing. Let's say they send Duncan, they ship Duncan over for Kyle with all that stuff.
Got out.
Then would you do flip Tyler for Vucevic?
That's tough.
Oh, man, I think I'm in.
The Magic do that?
Okay. Like, Kyle Lowry.
Who's your two?
Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, Vucevic, Bam.
What's your bench look like?
Listen. Bielitsa, a buyout guy. Maybe they can finesse to keep Andre.
I would love to see that team go up against the Nets because it's like you got Vooch and Bam against a team that does not have.
Yeah, chat's Rondé. We bring Rondé in. Let's fucking go. Rondé, small ball five. Mario Chalmers.
My thing with the whole Kendrick hero, like any potential hero trade,
Casey,
you have to think about how much the franchise clearly loves him and how much Jimmy loves him.
Can they trade
right?
for Josh?
Like, would
God, I wish.
I think with the right move, obviously Jimmy would be like, fuck Tyler Hero. We're, you know, we got to win now. Kind of like Dwayne Wade, like, was cool with trading just. Like, no, they didn't trade just.
No, that was it. No, Dwayne would like, not have been cool with that. Dwayne would have risen hell.
Nah, Dwayne would have been cool.
No, Dwayne would have been cool with it, though.
It was cool with Karan.
Yeah. But I like the right move, but I do think like that just means you have to get that much more of a return for Tyler Herro than you normally would have, because there are several people who will be very disappointed to see him go.
So if I'm the Heat
with Goron, right?
In that situation, if in this hypothetical that we're talking about, I try to see what I can do to get Norman Powell from the Raptors. Just as a guy. No, we're talking about the fucking bench. At least that guy is like a proven rotation player on a really good playoff team. On
our title team. But like, I don't want to think about why.
I know, but I mean, like in this scenario, that's a guy that you look at to kind of
help your bench. Norman Powell or KZ Akpala.
No, you're right. Like, it's the obvious, but like Norman Powell,
player of the month, like Norman Powell,
a really good. I'm just imagining him being on the team and me getting really mad.
He scowls. He'll piss you off so much.
Because there's really good Norman Powell and then there's really bad Norman Powell, and it's like one of those things where
it's like Kendrick Nunn without the crime.
That would drive Heat fans crazy, both in good ways and bad ways. Like, I think he would have. I think what he would get on the Heat. And he would have a really hot start, right? Like, I think he would like start off really hot, and then everybody
60% from three.
We turned Norman Powell into a superstar, and then he would, you know, fall back down to earth and do stupid shit like
the Gerald Green experience.
He'll start shooting 30% from three.
Yeah,
yeah. My thing with Tyler, I don't trade him for somebody who is north of 28, basically. Like, if you're good. Yeah, if you're going to trade him, like, you need somebody who's going to be, like, in their prime. Like, Vooch is already 30, and I don't think he turns you into a contender, like, long-term. That like that lineup you just noted with Kyle, Goron, like, Goron's getting picked on like a motherfucker.
Well, Goron and Vooch are getting put in pick and roll every time down the floor. God.
I would love to see Vooch and Bam together, because that's ideal. Vooch is shooting 42% from three.
Vooch is amazing. That little cute switching shit, if you play lineups with Vooch at the five and like teams try to get cute and switch their handoffs, you can't do that anymore. Because Vooch is not Bam. Vooch will take your ass in the fucking meat grinder down there in the torture chamber.
Yeah. Yeah, man, but we need like I'm looking at I was just wanted to go back to Duncan for a second. Like, you know, fans really talk about his shooting slump. Duncan is fifth in attempts in the league, and out of the top 10, he's third in shooting.
Who?
Duncan.
Duncan is fifth in attempts in the league, and out of just the top 10 guys in attempts, he's third in shooting.
He's amazing.
He gets
held to an impossibly large standard because he's getting measured against a hypothetical contract.
Do you know how hard it is when everyone knows that you're going to shoot the fucking ball and you're still great at it?
And you're still getting open.
Every time! When he's not, somebody else is open.
Yeah, it opens things up. Like, the problem with it, you don't want Duncan to be the third best player on your team.
You don't.
And I don't. But you want him to be on your team because he's going to turn a good offense to a great one. He's going to grease the wheels for everybody else. Everybody's going to be able to flow.
He's a final piece.
Exactly. He's going to complement everyone so nicely. There's not one team in the league who's going to be like, I don't want Duncan Robinson. I will not take the 6'8" elite shooting wingman that you're going to have to pay attention to. The problem with it is when you base your offense outside in, when you have a Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, you need those guys to be aggressive so Duncan can loosen the wheels. Because if you start with, I'm going to run 15 handoffs for Duncan and he goes 4 of 12, then they're not Duncan's confidence is a little shot and you're wasting possessions because you're not trying to get inside. So he's valuable. But with Tyler, I need somebody who's younger. I need somebody who's going to fit play with Bam going into the future. I'm not as crazy high on Tyler like these people who think he's going to be the next Bradley Beal are, or Devin Booker. I think he's going to be a very good player, a very good scorer. If he's in a role where he gets to compliment and he gets to just focus on scoring and some playmaking, very good. I don't know if he's ever going to defend well enough to be a starter, a consistent starter.
So
I'm okay with moving him. That's why.
Tiff is a chat hating on Duncan. He's a final piece when your deck is stacked. Our deck wasn't stacked
last year, though.
I also think
that gives them value in, like, even if they sign him to a big contract, I think he's super tradable. even if you overpay him.
Yeah.
Because the shooting, I don't think the shooting's going away. And I do think he is improving at other things. Like, as far as somebody that good at shooting goes, I don't think he's as one-dimensional of a player as, like, I don't know. He's not Steve Novak or something, right? Right? Like,
no,
it's not like he's
not
Steve Novak with a better jumper. He's
not Kyle Korver.
He does some things that, like, you know, he can kind of take you off the dribble. Like, not really, but, like, in a way that makes him not a total, like,
he's a very good cutter.
He's going to leverage his shooting ability.
He's a very good cutter. He's a very good screener. I think he's gotten really good at that little slip pass when he gets doubled. But part of that's on Bam to move. I think that little step through jumper, that little mid-range step through jumper has gotten really good. I think he's a smart player. I think he's a good decision maker. His lob throwing can be a little better. That shit looks bad.
Also, he's never done it before.
Yeah. I think
I
he's
don't
good.
Like Tyler Hero's lobs. I want to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, they always seem too fast for me. Like, he kind of fastballs.
That's a young player thing.
It is a young player thing. It's just like, I think he gets credit for it because Bam is really, really athletic and good. But like some of those, like, I think there was one lob I'm thinking of particularly like last game. And they were like, oh man, what a good lob by Tyler Hero. I was like, no, it was like, Bam is just good. He just caught it.
I'm up in the air.
After watching Dwayne Wade for so long, I'm like such a lob snob. I'm a lob snob because
I'm with you.
It's all like I know perfect placement when I see it.
We saw
like,
D Wade and LeBron football throw it to each other from one side of the court to the other.
Dwayne Wade could throw a cross court lob to Kelly Olynyk. That's talent. Throwing a lob to Bam from the free throw line, that's not talent. Anybody could do it. That I could do that.
Old ass Dwayne Wade in his last game threw a half court alley oop to Duncan Robinson.
Exactly.
That's
right?
True. Like, I forgot about that.
I don't believe Tyler Hero could throw a lob to Duncan Robinson.
Yeah. No, I'm with you guys. Wade, his passing is so underrated all the time. Anywhere he had every pass.
He was almost as good as LeBron as a passer, and I don't think that was ever talked about.
It was insane.
Wade is the best passer LeBron's ever played with. Not even a question.
I don't think there's a – is there a close second?
No.
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 No. Maybe
Rondo's probably the like Kyrie's. You can
what? Probably Love is the second.
Might
be
Rondo probably.
I guess played with Rondo. But Rondo, Dwayne Wade, way better.
Rondo, yeah. Dwayne's
Rondo.
A better
passer. I don't want to hear that argument. Rondo's an overrated passer.
Rondo's overrated, period.
Rondo's an overrated passer because he couldn't do anything else.
Is so Rondo a Hall of Famer to you?
He's so good at.
I've had this conversation with people. I don't think Rondo's a Hall of Famer.
No.
Is he's still with the Lakers?
Yeah, he has two titles, a bunch of all-stars. I think he has an all-NBA third team.
If he keeps doing what he did last...
He sucks. He's in Atlanta right now, by the way.
No, he's in Atlanta?
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought he was with the Lakers.
No, he left.
Okay, well then definitely not.
He got paid.
If he kept doing what he did last year with the Lakers, then like there's an argument.
Two-time champ, four-time all-star, all-NBA third team, two defensive first teams. Two defensive second teams, three-time assist leader.
How was he in college? Who did he play for in college?
Kentucky. Oh, wait, no, that's where he was born.
No, he played in Kentucky.
And he went to Kentucky.
He went to Kentucky. But did they win anything?
Probably. It's Kentucky.
No,
I don't think so.
This is before Calipari.
Because that is the Basketball Hall of Fame, so they like count that stuff. So
yeah,
I think he's a no. I think he's like a fringe. But like,
he's only a four-time All-Star. I did not know that.
Like Bosch, I think is a like shoe-in for an all-star.
Yeah, he's gonna make it next year.
He's definitely
for sure.
An Hall of Famer because he has like seven all-star appearances.
So is it only seven?
He has at least seven. I think the bar is like, stat that like Bomani posted a long time ago when he was arguing about
11.
This was
11
like,
time all-star in your fucking face.
No, but like the thing I'm arguing, like the stat is something like, and I'm gonna, this is a stat I heard like years ago. It's like, the people who have both won a ring and made seven all-star teams and not made a Hall of Fame, like is, I think either short or non-existent. Like, I think if you have seven all-star appearances and you've won a ring, like you're shoo-in for the Hall of Fame.
So what about Kyle? Kyle's at six all-star appearances.
Kyle is a Hall of Famer for sure.
I think so, but people would argue.
Hold on. On Basketball Reference, it has the player similarity score. You want to guess who Rondo's most comparable to?
Justice Winslow?
No.
Damn it.
Avery Johnson.
Oh, yeah, that's like...
Derrick Rose is only a three-time All-Star and only he only made one All-NBA team.
He died during the Big Heat.
He was like 25 when he stopped being good at basketball. Like, it's not...
I mean, but
we'll see him tomorrow night.
He's not a Hall of Famer, right?
No, absolutely.
D-Rose, no.
No.
I think he's going to be the first MVP.
I don't think he deserves.
This is a good one. Is Andre Iguodala a Hall of Famer? I would say no.
I think so.
You think so? The Olympic stuff could help him because he is a gold medalist.
He's got a Finals MVP.
He's got three-time champ, Finals MVP, one-time All-Star. Ooh, that's going to hurt him. One all defensive first team and one all defensive second team.
I gotta say, bullshit that he has that few all defensive teams.
100%.
But, oh, totally.
Yo, the all defensive team sucks.
How many does Dwayne have? It's like, it's offensive.
The Iggy thing, Iggy's one of my favorite players. Like, when he played for the Sixers.
Iggy. Can we, as a like a show, stop Andre. Calling him Iggy?
Andre Iguodala, when he was playing for the Sixers, I was like, he was probably one of my like non-Heat favorite players. And then his Nuggets career was really that Nuggets team like turned around when he joined. He was really fucking good. And then like how many Finals MVPs are not in the Hall of Fame? That'd be something I'd like to see.
How many MVPs are not? Because I wouldn't put Derrick.
How many MVPs?
I wouldn't put Derrick Rose.
I think Rose is gonna be the first one.
In the Hall of Fame.
I don't think Derrick Rose should get there. He might get there because people have a nostalgia boner for him, but I don't think
he should have won MVP.
I don't think so either. I think LeBron deserved it that year. Westbrook also had like an identical statistical season to him.
You know,
people really like overrate him in retrospect. He was really impressive, but like
he was flashy.
Be more impressive than Westbrook?
I always refer to this. Their offense was awful, and the team was always better, like statistically, when he was off the floor. They were winning minutes when he was off the floor because the defenses on those teams were so good. They were so aggressive, and he was a good. Obviously, he's a special offensive player. He was a special offensive player.
But the Bulls took the Heat to five both ways, right? Like. That like a non-Rose Bulls team, like what was it, like 2012?
Didn't they take
him to five?
No, Rose played.
In 2012?
The year that Rose did not play.
I don't think he played in 2012.
No, he
played. No. They didn't play against the Bulls in 2012.
Yeah, they lost in the first round. They were the one seed. They lost to the Sixers. Yeah, and then the Sixers played the Celtics, and then we played the Celtics.
And that was Uncut Gems.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite part of I haven't seen Uncut Gems. I've only heard about Uncut Gems. And my favorite thing is I was like, you know, I tell my non-sports friends, I was like, you know, that he bopped that Celtic ass the next series, right?
Seven. I'm more impressed with – I think Noah – I'm a huge Noah fan. And I think, like
– Different era.
Different era of Marcus.
But, like, Rose is great. But, like, Noah made that Bulls team go. Like, Noah was so underrated. Like as a defender, as an offensive player,
Uncle Lou,
they had a really good team around D Rose.
Heat and five.
But like they had a really good team, like a really good roster, I think. And Tibbs is a good coach.
They also had like no 3-point shooting. Remember, it was Korver off the bench. That's it. And it was like Rip Hamilton,
Kirk Heinrich,
Keith Bogans. Like they were
Keith Bogans. That's a name.
They had to grind you to a hall. Somehow Keith Bogans and Dwayne Wade were in the same draft class, and I always pictured Keith Bogans as like 15 years older than Dwayne Wade.
Is Duncan Robinson better than Kyle Korver?
100%.
Kyle Korver?
Yeah.
I think so.
Because Duncan is just – and by the way, like Kyle was a mover as well. Kyle was great. And this is actually something – Nikias is great at putting things into perspective. Next time Nikias comes on, we got to ask him like – I just think Duncan offers you a little more ball skill than Kyle, and Duncan's just a much better shooter on the move. I always talk about this when I talk about Duncan. One of my favorite people doing anything around basketball is Coach David Thorpe. He's for True Hoop right now. Sometimes Coach Thorpe appears on podcasts, and Thorpe does a lot of developmental coaching of college players, of NBA players, of young players.
UD.
He does coaching at every level.
He coached UD.
Huh?
He coached UD.
He did. He's done a lot of really cool stuff. He's like one of the smartest people doing anything on basketball. Check out True Hoop. They're amazing. And he came out, he went on a podcast with Dave Dufour, a friend of the show, Dave Dufour. Or it was Lowe. I don't remember. It was either Dave Dufour or Zach Lowe. He was talking about Duncan, how they coach shooters now. After 1 year, after seeing Duncan for a year, Thorpe and other developmental coaches are like, oh, no. We got to teach what Duncan's doing. We're not going to teach what J.J. Redick and Kyle Korver did. We are switching because the way that Duncan moves and the way he controls his body, coming off the screen, going up, the body control, all this like stuff about Duncan, the way he runs routes, is what we're going to teach people because he has perfected this art.
I have a question about another Hall of Fame question.
Oh, I love
this. Does the 2015 Hawks starting five, are they Hall of Famer? Is that a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, for sure. For easy.
That's easy. A Hall of Famer.
That's a Hall of Famer for sure.
Former player of the month. The Hawks starting five. That
all of them made an all-star team besides Carroll, right?
No, Carroll was not.
He was a sixth man.
Carroll wasn't an all-star. But like he was in that player of the month.
Yeah, but he was the only one that didn't make the all-star team that year. That was such
a Kyle Korver. Do you remember they were just giving Kyle the ball to shoot? That was funny. That was the worst all-star game ever.
It was.
I thought that Hawks team was gonna beat the Cavs.
I did too.
They were really good.
Great.
The two times I felt the dumbest watching basketball was when I was so sure that Hawks team was going to wax Cleveland. And when I was so sure that the Raptors team that, you know, when Mark Jones said LeBronto, that series where LeBron just stole their soul, I was convinced that the Raptors were going to beat them. Convinced.
Turn a 0-2 into a 0-3. That shit was the greatest video ever.
That was so good. All right, guys.
Hold on. I want to harp in on these all defensive teams that we were talking about, Rondo and stuff. Yeah. You know how bullshit the all defensive team, how come we only have two teams and for offense, we have three. Yeah. You have guys, you know, who has more all defensive teams in his career than Sean Marion?
Kobe.
Obviously. Probably. But Hassan Whiteside has made more all defensive teams than Sean Marion. Sean Marion a single all defensive team.
Hassan made an all defensive team? I don't remember that.
In 15-16.
Yeah, I remember that.
Kobe Bryant bullshit. Has more all defensive teams than Tony Allen.
On reputation, part of that. More so than deserved.
Oh, no. Tony has three first. Three first and three second. What does Kobe have? I think Kobe might have.
Kobe has like 14.
Kobe has a ton.
Yeah, Kobe has way too many. 12.
He has 12.
How does Kobe have nine first all defensive teams?
Well, some of them are reputations. And then
I'm sorry, he was not a better defender than Dwayne by the end. I'm sorry.
Yeah, by the end.
I don't think Chris Paul was either, by the way.
Because
CP3 took a lot of those from Dwayne too. Wow, Shmee the Smolnik hates our Hall of Fame talk. We never get to do this.
His last all defensive team was 2011.
You want to keep talking about Kyle Lowry?
I mean, I do.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big.